You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel Rue, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. In a special Friday night slash Saturday morning podcast, I was able to talk with Jeff Garcia, who hosts Locked On Spurs, about the upcoming series, and was really happy to do it. So it's a fun conversation, runs about 25 minutes. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Danny. I guess, as they say, it's showtime.
It is, and I'm really excited for this series. We haven't seen it since 2013, which was a very different Spurs team versus a very different Warriors team, even if a lot of the players are the same, just because of where these teams have gone over that time. But I feel like we need to take a quick minute to talk about how the Spurs got here, and one of the most surprising playoff games I can remember, considering Kawhi was out and they absolutely throttled the Rockets.
I did not see that coming by a mile. I thought it was going to be game five, that classic overtime win by San Antonio all over again, only the scene shifting in Houston. I really thought that Harden would come out looking to amend his disappearing act in the overtime period in game five, only to know that he just continued to remain a vanished man. And it looked like he played with no passion, no heart, doing careless things that an NBA MVP candidate wouldn't do. Hey, as a Spurs guy, I'll take it. I'll take it what we can, because Kawhi didn't play. Tony Parker got wrecked. His knee is out. You're looking at a team that had to rely on a Jonathan Simmons, a DeJounte Murray rookie guy that hardly got any playing time during the regular season, let alone the postseason. Hoping that LaMarcus Aldridge would find some sort of rhythm, and thankfully he did. So there was a lot of things that had to come together. It came together for San Antonio. Love it. Love how they're playing right now. I love how they have this mindset now that, hey, you know, they can win without Kawhi. Maybe it's a whole different story versus Golden State, because I think they need Kawhi versus your Warriors. But at the end of the day, love how they got here. They had two tough, hard-fought series, more so with Memphis, I think, than Houston, especially with Game 6, the way Houston and Harden played. But nonetheless, the Spurs have been battle-tested in this playoff run. They had a tough fight against Memphis, a brutal physical fight. They had an up-and-down, high-paced, D'Antoni-style fight against Houston. And now it comes to almost, I like to think, a blend of the two now. A team like Golden State that has the offense that everybody knows about, but also has defense. So this looks like it's shaping up to be a heavyweight fight. We'll see what happens when tip-off gets going this Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, because these teams are very different in terms of certain elements of it, but then they're also similar just because they're professional and they don't make some of the mistakes that a lot of other teams do, and they're a little bit more balanced. But my big question with this series is, can the Spurs survive playing big? And for the most part, they did against the Rockets by using the offensive glass. Pau Gasol was very good as a rim protector. And I am skeptical that that will work against the Warriors, but I am also confident that that's what Pop wants, and that's where he's going to go to start out the series.
I agree with you. I would not be surprised if the Spurs kind of sort of do what they did versus Houston once Nene went out, and just go big and really, really go big. And you saw that, you know, LaMarcus, the game he had in the closeout game. Pau Gasol, he's not maybe putting up the big, big Pau Gasol numbers that you and I and other fans are used to, but he's very, very effective on the rebounding side. Offensive rebound, defensive rebound. He's chipping in with a few points here and there, but you just like his presence, his length. He disrupted James Harden a lot. Harden mentioned that in the post-game conference, that the Spurs big were just being very disruptive and throwing hands up. Will it work against Golden State? Theoretically, it should. I mean, that's been always the knock on the Warriors, saying like, well, they're just a small team. They're a small team. How hard is it? Just pound them in the middle. But Draymond Green has been there and done that. He's taken on some of the NBA's biggest guys recently, Gobert, and made them look pedestrian. So I'm not sneezing at the interior defense of Golden State. You have Pachulia. He can be a rough and tumble guy. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't that. And I think the Spurs, they have the bigs to do something in the middle. I just don't think it's the right type of bigs to give the Warriors a lot of headaches. LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, he plays away from the basket. He does a lot of face-up shots. And when he does go to the rim, you know, he's so-so. He's kind of iffy. Pau Gasol, you know, yes, credit Pau. You know, he's a little up there in age, but he's still doing what he can. But again, he's been now kind of a three-point shooter. He's extended his game to a mid-range. I think the Spurs have to possibly toy with the idea of maybe, just maybe, throwing in there a guy like Dwayne Dedmon. Now, Dwayne Dedmon has been absent for quite a chunk of the recent series versus Houston and was in and out versus Memphis. I think Dwayne Dedmon could be kind of a minor X factor in this in the paint. He's long. He's athletic. He can rebound. He's not going to light up the scoreboard, but he's going to do the little things on the defensive end that may or may neutralize any type of penetration that the Warriors can throw at the Spurs.
I like Dedmon. I think he's an interesting fit worth trying in this series. And that ties in with my I talked about the idea of can the Spurs stay big? And for me, that's more on the defensive end than anything else. Offensively, you know, they can make it work for stretches and everything like that. But the Warriors are very good at making big men defend in space for a very simple reason. If your guy sets a screen on the person who's guarding Stephen Curry, and the second person in that pick and roll is not there, Stephen Curry's shooting a three, and it's probably going in. Even if he's not at the 2015-16 unanimous MVP level, that is a hallmark of the Warriors. And that was even a hallmark back when they played in 2015, even if he did it less than he does now. And so what that does is it forces guys out. You can do it a couple different ways. You know, you can try to have your guy get around the screen. You can hedge. You can trap. You can switch. Whatever. But they get those guys out there, and they can set screens. The Warriors, depending on what lineups they're using, generally in their base lineups, both of their big men are good screeners. So they could just, if let's say they try to put Powell on Draymond, then Draymond sets the screen. If they try to put Powell on Zaza Pachulia, Zaza Pachulia sets the screen. But then the other big challenge is, what happens if the Warriors just kind of go small, if they go with Draymond at center? And so it's going to be a trade-off, just like it was in the Rockets series when the Rockets went to Ryan Anderson at center. You're going to give up some things. The Warriors would probably give up more offensive rebounds. They're not a great defensive rebounding team in those lineups. But they're also in a situation where they might be impossible to defend. And so Mike Brown, it still feels weird to say that, former Spurs assistant Mike Brown.
That's right.
Is going to have to make those decisions in terms of the trade-offs. And it might feel like a hedge, but the actual answer is it's going to depend situation by situation on whether that's going to work and how well it's going to work, just because whether the rebound falls to Gasol or Aldridge is kind of luck of the draw to a point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's obvious, you know, the Spurs at least have soaked that kind of style of play with the Houston team, of having to face a team that goes small, and they were effective against that. There are times during the series where they played, I would call it medium. They would play a medium game, and I like what I saw. They would have Powell or LaMarcus in the middle, and they surround him with kind of like those mid guys, like a Danny Green, a Jonathan Simmons, and they perhaps their smallest guy on the court was Patty Mills. But so they were able to kind of like find like a happy middle, and it worked versus Houston. Now, will that work versus Golden State? That's a whole other beast. Unlike the Rockets, the Warriors can't play defense. Unlike the Rockets, you can pretty much bank that the Warriors will knock down their shots. It's going to take a collective effort from San Antonio. I'm hoping that it goes seven at least and give the Spurs, you know, a puncher's chance in that seventh game in Oracle. And I think that's what I'm hoping for. Best case scenario, worst case scenario is just a sweep. And despite what the regular season shows you, that the Spurs won 2-1, those were kind of not really full games. You know, you had the classic Pop and Kerr move of sitting out players left and right in one of the final games. So we really haven't seen these two teams face each other at full strength. We're going to see it now. And yeah, maybe the Spurs are still not at full strength. Parker's out. I think that's a huge loss for them. I think Kawhi Leonard's gimpy ankle and possible knee, I think that's a cause of concern. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they've hired Mr. Miyagi right now to warm his hands up and try to heal number two right now as they en route to Oracle. But the Spurs are going to need everybody on deck. And I'm talking from Kawhi Leonard to Pau Gasol to LMA to Patty Mills to even the rookie DeJounte Murray and Davis Bertans, guys like that. I mean, if Bertans can be that crazy stretch four and just cause some sort of havoc defensively for Golden State, I'll take it. But look, this is going to be a series made for the ages. This is the two teams that many people, many around the NBA wanted to see. Yes, it's unfortunate the Spurs didn't do that last season, but here it is. It's almost like youth versus experience. It's the old coach Pop versus his protege Mike Brown. And there's just, for me as a Spurs guy, when I look at this series, I think there's too many ifs for San Antonio. And that's what worries me. If LaMarcus Aldridge continues to play like he did in game six versus Houston, if DeJounte Murray can play the way he did versus Houston in the final closeout game versus the Warriors consistently, it's going to be tough for the Spurs to beat a Warriors team four times out of seven. The Spurs have faded a few times in games. I saw it in Memphis. I saw it against Houston. They can't have those lulls. They will go up double digits and take their foot off the gas pedal and let teams creep back in. They cannot do that versus Golden State. They got to play like they're down 15 points every single quarter. I question sometimes the Spurs' heart. I question their mentality. But I think the way they're playing right now, I think playing without Kawhi Leonard and proving that they can beat a team like Houston without him would do wonders for their confidence. I think the way they beat Houston is going to carry over to the Golden State series. And don't forget, this is a team still led by Popovich, and they got guys like Manu Ginobili on the bench, and even a guy like Danny Green, who's been there, done that, and won titles with San Antonio. They're going to be able to steady the younger guys, the newer guys, and I think we're going to see a great 6 or 7-game series.
One player I don't think we've spent enough time discussing is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi had an absolutely spectacular regular season. I think that his MVP candidacy was a little bit underrated. It got a little bit of buzz later. I think Tim Bontemps and a few others picked him for MVP. But the Warriors challenge him in a similar way to what we saw in the last series with Gordon Hayward by just throwing a series of different bodies at him, you know, whether that's through switches or through one-on-one. And while Kawhi is going to, he's going to get baskets in this, he's going to score, they're going to make it hard on him because Durant is incredibly long, Iguodala is smart and strong and long enough, and Draymond is Draymond. That's going to be a big challenge for them. Because Kawhi is better as a scorer than as a passer still. I love Kawhi. I mean, I think he's a spectacular player. But they're going to challenge him in that way that they did with Gordon Hayward. And Hayward had some wonderful games. But it's going to be hard to make it all work. And I'm excited to see, because I think the best path for the Spurs to make this a long series and even potentially win it is for Kawhi to be spectacular. And that might need to come sooner rather than later, because I feel like San Antonio has to win one of the first two games if they want the series.
I agree with you. I think the Spurs have to get a win in Oracle. And if they're going to do it, in my opinion, it's got to be in game one. I think that's where the Spurs have to strike. Now, yes, your Warriors have been off for quite some time, and I'm pretty sure they're well prepared and have the Spurs well scouted by now. And I think they're going to come in raring to go. This is a Spurs team that has kind of been like the older big brother on the block for quite some time. The Warriors are the up-and-coming young guy on the block that seemingly wants to take over the pride, and they have. But yet there's that old team out there that's still lingering around and could pop you in the mouth if you don't watch it, and I think that's what the Spurs are. For your Warriors, I think one thing they can't do is get cocky. I think this, if they started showboating and getting cocky, and you know, that could lead to what I think is one of the Warriors' biggest weaknesses, the turnovers. I think sometimes I see your Warriors play, and I'm like, they're throwing a lot of balls over, and I don't like that if I was covering the Warriors. And I think the Spurs will capitalize on that. You saw that versus Houston, especially in the closeout game. They punished the Warriors for every turnover they did, or should I say every Harden turnover, because it looks like he coughed a ball up so many times. And I think the Warriors also, they got to play a good game against San Antonio. And I think, I'm pretty sure Mike Brown and the rest of the crew are saying, you know, don't give this Spurs team life. This is not a Jazz team that you face. This is not a Blazers team that you face. This is the San Antonio Spurs. They'll make you pay for every little mistake, just like the Warriors will do for the Spurs in the same way. But again, this is just a clash of the Titans. And we're about to see, you know, who's going to be the biggest Titan on the block.
turnovers are a wonderful point to bring up because the Warriors do have problems in that way, and they've also faced two teams in the first two rounds that do not force turnovers. The Blazers were in the bottom 10, the Jazz were in the bottom 10. I think the Blazers were even in the bottom 5. Actually, both teams were. Wow. And the Spurs are about 10th. They're, you know, they're much better at it. And so that creates a challenge for the Warriors. And I know some people have kind of, they're taking it, Warriors fans are kind of taking it for granted. They're like, oh, look, they figured this out. They didn't figure it out. They just played teams that don't really affect them in that way. And also something that the Spurs are really good at, which we didn't see as much in the Rocket series as I expected, mostly because they didn't have to, is ball denial. The Spurs are great at preventing, like, so let's say Stephen Curry passes off the ball and then they want to get it back to him. The Spurs, especially if Danny Green's on him, but Patty Mills is pretty good at this too, that they can just make it harder for him to get it back. And when you run a system that relies on ball and player movement like the Warriors do, that ball denial, it's a problem not only because, you know, it can put the ball in the guy's worst hands, but also it runs a lot of time. And the Warriors like getting into stuff early. They like moving quickly. And if it just kind of gums up the works for a little while, I could see that frustrating them. I could see that, you know, kind of leading to greater problems for a period of time.
Yeah. One other point I want to bring up is this. Now, the Spurs do have advantages. I think the bench is a little deeper. I think the Spurs also have wild card players, you know. And what I mean by that is, a guy like Jonathan Simmons, a kid like DeJounte Murray, I think, and a guy like even a Dwayne Dedman. I think if those are exactly the type of players that the Spurs needed that they did not have last year going up against a Warriors team. DeJounte Murray, yeah, I get it. He's a rookie, and you know he's probably going to get pushed around a lot by your Warriors, but he's long, he's athletic, he's young, he can slash to the rim, and I think that's what the Spurs need going up against a Warriors team that is just full of athleticism. I mean, from top to bottom, a guy like Jonathan Simmons that, you know, Juice Simmons can just wreck that lane and he can go in and finish with authority. And yet he has an outside shot. And I think you may point at a guy like Kawhi Leonard or LMA or Pau Gasol or Manu Ginobili and so on and so forth. I look at X factors as the little athletic guys that the Spurs have going into this series, Murray and Simmons. I think they're going to have big games and step up their game versus Golden State.
What you're getting into is the idea of variance. And basically, the concept, and this is why some people thought that the Rockets would give the Warriors a better series than the Spurs, though I disagreed with that, is the idea that in terms of expected value, the Warriors are better than whoever they're going to face, whether that's, you know, at full strength. So, you know, that's the Spurs, that's even the Cavs, or clearly the two teams they played in the first rounds. So the idea then is that you want a team, as an opponent, you want to be a team that can go, that has really high highs and really, and ideally not really low lows, but if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be below them. So the reason you want that is because that's what it's going to take to beat the Warriors. And we saw some of that in game 6 of the Rocket series, where Jonathan Simmons was great. Another game where Jonathan Simmons was great was the opening night of the regular season when he was really good against the Warriors. So they're going to need those types of performances. And something that makes the Warriors very different from the Rockets and will be a problem for the Spurs, and the Spurs will be a problem for the Warriors in the same way, is that both these teams are generally so good at executing the scouting report. So they will pick the single thing. The way I like to think about it is a single thing that they don't want the other team or specific people doing, and they will pick a specific thing that they do want them to do, and they will try to make both of those things happen. And then outside of that, you know, there's some stuff they can do on the margins. And so what they choose for specific guys, like, I mean, DeJounte Murray is not a bad three-point shooter, but he's only attempted 26 in his NBA career. So you kind of sit there and say, okay, make him shoot. Simmons, there are a couple different things. I mean, I think he's best as a finisher, but his driving, kind of like Danny Green, it used to be all miss, now it's hit or miss. And so where the Warriors go with those approaches, just like what the Spurs try to do in terms of defending Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant, is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Oh yeah, this is, I mean, from top to bottom on both sides of the court and both rosters and both benches, I mean, this is just two teams that can just throw out so many different looks at each other, and it's going to really come down to, I think, coaching. I think that's what it's going to really, really come down to. Can Popovich outcoach Mike Brown? Can Mike Brown remember something from his days in San Antonio and say, you know what, this was actually effective, and I remember this. And yeah, Mike Brown looks has the luxury of having perhaps three of the best players in the NBA right now, all in one squad. Spurs have luxury, maybe two at most, but the Spurs got to have that perimeter defense going. They got to have the guys, LMA and Powell and Deadman, patrolling that paint as best they can. Active hands, play the passing lanes defensively, and then on offense, just knock down those shots. This is a team that has gone cold for considerable stretches in the playoffs. Just take example, Game 5 versus Houston. In overtime in San Antonio, they couldn't find the bucket in the crucial moment. Luckily, they found a couple. It was enough to beat the Rockets. But you can see the Spurs have small droughts, mini droughts, long droughts in this postseason. You kind of sort of don't see that. Now, granted, it could be a situation of who they played. The Spurs had to play a tough defensive-minded Grizzlies team, you know, that's going to close out on their shooters. It's going to bring the D. They had to go up against a Rockets team that, yes, maybe the bar was set low for them, but were improved defensively somewhat, and but had to tweak their game, the Spurs, that is, into more of a kind of a high pace a game on the court to just play again, contend with Houston and their firepower. But for San Antonio, they proved in the series versus Houston that they can bring the defense against a high-octane offense, Houston. They've held Houston under 100-point scoring in the postseason. They can bring the defense. Just can they do that against Golden State and maintain that for four wins in seven? That's going to be the real key.
The other big key is going to be which team is kind of the puncher and which team is the counterpuncher. So who is being the aggressor and forcing the adjustments? It could go both ways. It often does. A good series has both teams making tweaks at the same time. But, you know, I think that my theory of this series is that the Warriors are generally going to be pushing the Spurs in terms of, you know, going small and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it could go the other way. Popovich is talented. And also, who moves off of the things that do not work more quickly? Mike Brown has gone back to the Warriors' second unit a few times, and the Warriors' second unit has generally struggled to generate reliable offense. It'll be a little bit different. I thought that was going to be a huge problem in the series before Tony Parker got hurt. But now that Parker's out, Patty Mills is basically in the starting lineup, so then DeJounte Murray is going to get more of those minutes. He's having a wonderful run, but still not, you know, he's not Tony Parker, he's not Patty Mills. So all of those things are going to be there together, and that's why this is going to be such a fun series to cover and to watch, is because things will be shifting all the time, and the power dynamics will go along with it.
Oh, yeah, and look, my hope is that the Spurs just don't get swept. That's all. Just don't get swept. And I don't think they will get swept in this series. I think they'll pull out one or two. And then after that, I think it's just up in the air. It just, there's just this Spurs team that has it all. In my opinion, I think they have a deeper bench than Golden State. In my opinion, I think they have better bigs than Golden State. But that guard play for the Warriors is just phenomenal. And even if Kawhi Leonard comes back at full strength, his job is just to shut down one of the three. But that still leaves two behind. Wow, that's going to be an interesting situation for San Antonio. Now, I don't think Danny Green gets enough credit for his defense. Let's just pretend they sick Kawhi Leonard on Klay Thompson. You know, I think they got a great guy on his side on the defensive end, Green, to check a guy like a Curry. Because I don't see them, Cole Curry and Kawhi, facing each other, because one of those guys get into foul trouble on the defensive end, and I think they want to preserve that. So it's got an underrated, at least under the radar, Danny Green defensively. But then what next? You know, Patty Mills, you know, he has to have that shooting stroke going down, because he could be key for San Antonio offensively. If he's knocking his shot down, and that just poses a different issue defensively for Golden State. But all in all, I'm looking forward to this. I know you are. The NBA world has been waiting for this. It's finally here, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it. Anything else you feel like we need to discuss?
Yeah, I just got one quick question for you. Do you, I always wanted to ask this of you, do you really believe in that whole thing that sometimes Draymond Green can cost the Warriors games?
No, not really. I'll give you an exception. The exception is when the whole LeBron thing, and when he got suspended in Game 5 mm-hmm. of the finals. Other than that, No, not really. I mean, he's so consistently great defensively that on the court, I don't really see much of that. And he really, like, he's kind of his own entity in terms of, like, dealing with the refs and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he, like, puts the team on tilt or anything like that. So I don't buy that too much. And the idea, I actually talked about this a little bit earlier this week, the idea that his talking is making things harder for other guys, I completely disagree with that.
Yeah, and I thought about that when I look at the series. I'm thinking, well, you know, what if, you know, Draymond just does another bonehead thing and costs the Warriors a game here, a game there, and to the Spurs' advantage. That could be something that Spurs fans and Warriors fans can keep an eye on, is the volatile Draymond Green. But yeah, I mean, I think Draymond Green is excellent. He's obviously going to get that DPOY. He's been playing great. You know, as much as his personality rubs me the wrong way, I do respect his game on the court. As far as San Antonio, is there a player on the roster that when you look at it, you're like, and you say, well, you know what, this guy might be an issue heading into this series?
I think it's basically all of their traditional centers or center-y guys. Pau Gasol mm-hmm. is defending in space. David Lee, old Warriors friend David Lee, is going to, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be exploited even more ruthlessly in this series than he was against Houston. Well, Houston had some moments where they went after him every time, but then they kind of mm-hmm. went away from it, and I thought that was a mistake. And we'll see with Dedmon. I mean, Dedmon also a former Warrior. But long, that was a while ago. It was the beginning of his career. It was actually most of his career. But I was covering the team, so I remember these things. And I think that that's just going to be a problem for them. And then the other one that I want to watch, I don't think he's, you know, like a weakness for them. But the Warriors, over the years, because they faced him so much, have done a good job defending LaMarcus Aldridge. And mm-hmm. he can overcome that. It is not a binding, you know, it's not, the die is not cast with him. But we've kind of seen that with certain guys that, like, the Warriors just do a good job on them. They mm-hmm. know they know what they're going to do. Presumably Draymond is going to draw LaMarcus as his primary assignment. And we'll see. I mean, basically, I think Kawhi and LaMarcus are the Spurs' keys to having a truly great series.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. Those bigs, they got to come up big versus Golden State. But I'm excited. I mean, I think this is going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to game one. I got the jitters. I'm not going to lie to you, Danny. I'm a little nervous, but may the best team win.
Absolutely. Really, really looking forward to this series, especially after all the years of not getting it when we should have.
Oh, yeah. And it's finally here. Can't wait. For your listeners, you know, they can find me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone or email me at JeffGarcia74. I also write for San Antonio's News for San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio. I'm their Spurs beat writer. So I appreciate your Warriors fans talking to me about this epic series we're about to have.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for taking the time.
All right, thank you, Danny.
Thanks again to Jeff Garcia for taking the time to come on. He already gave his contact information, so you don't need to get that again from me. He just said it. And really looking forward to this series. It's going to be a lot of fun. I will have a preview piece in all likelihood for The Athletic out at some point in the indeterminate future. Probably out by the time most of you read the or listen to this, but I'm not entirely sure just when I really can cobble together the time to do it. And lots of stuff going on right now. Of course, Twitter NBA show still going strong. We won't do the games in this series when the Warriors are at home because we'll of course be covering it, but we will do the other ones in all likelihood. I don't think I'm going to be traveling for this series. That could change. If so, you will know. And yeah, I mean, this is just going to be an absolute blast. We haven't seen these teams play in such a long time. And that was a really memorable series for its own reasons. And now these teams are dramatically different. I mean, even Kawhi, you know, Kawhi has become such a force during that time. Both of these teams have won championships since the last time these teams played in the playoffs, which I think is kind of cool. So if you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com, at DannyLarue on Twitter. You take the time to write it. I will take the time to read it. Don't promise I'll respond, but that's what I promise. You can support the show by leaving a rating, leaving a review, subscribing, downloading every episode. Especially great for times like this when we release an episode at an unusual time. And we will be back on Sunday about game one of the Western Conference Finals. Very pumped for it to see where this series goes. Hopefully Kawhi can play. Hopefully we get best versus best and see where it goes. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.